What's up, everybody? I'm Jesse Ziegler.
And I'm Quinn Cody.
And this is the 2026 Dakar Rally Stage 1 results show from Dakar Rally Daily here in the Cycle News studio. And I'm pumped because racing's happening, strategy's happening, the race course is happening, everything is happening. All the talk about who's going to do what, who's going to win, and who's going to crash, that's just, we're in it now. We're in it, and we're living it, and we're loving it.
Yeah, here it is. The race has started, and the results look very similar to the way they looked yesterday.
Yeah, literally almost a carbon copy. But before we get to that, we got a shout out to our sponsors, Climb, the title sponsor of Dakar Rally Daily since day one. Check out Climb Motorcycles YouTube, or not YouTube channel, check out Climb Motorcycles Instagram account. Check out climb.com, find some riding gear, and go riding. That's the point, everybody. We talk about the Dakar Rally to inspire people to go do rally. And to do that, you just got to start riding your motorcycle. So please, Quinn, you can back me up on this.
Yeah, go ride. That's what your motorcycle makes the world go around, right? That's why we do everything that we do, is so that we have some small amount of time to go ride motorcycles.
Yes, and inspire people to do it, because if we do it alone, then I'm just going to ride with Quinn all the time. And that's actually kind of bad for my self-esteem if I just ride with Quinn all the time, or most people. But so please go ride, and I hope to see you out there on the trail. To get into rally, easier than it ever has been, you got to do two things. You got to sign up for a race, so it's on your calendar, so you can motivate and dedicate yourself to do it. And the easiest way to do that is go to Baja Rally. It's the closest one to us. It's right down the road. Just go to San Diego and go a little further, and then you go race a rally.
Yeah, I mean, it's an hour from here, right? And I saw even they have, looks like they're trying to pull in some big names. They've got a pro purse. I want to say it's a $15,000 pro rally purse. And I think it's $10,000 guaranteed for first place. So I think they're going to pull in some big names this year.
Yeah, they've really tried to up it up their entries to get more people involved. They're kind of in the same boat as us. They want people racing rally, and they want more people enjoying it. That's why they created this race really close to, you know, the metropolitan areas of Southern California and all the surrounding riding areas of the desert. And you can get there and you can race with the Baja Rally, and you should do it. Also, you should get Rally Navigator or other presenting sponsor and start building your own road book, so you don't go down there and not know what you're doing. You got to figure it out.
Yeah. To do rally nowadays, you have to understand the road book. And the only way to understand how a road book works is by building one yourself. And you get on Rally Navigator and just start building. You can build your morning commute. You can build yourself a road book and follow it to work.
Yeah. Don't look at your phone when you're driving, but build a road book and follow it on your way to work, if you know what I'm saying. Wink, wink. The coolest thing about that is you get inside the mindset of these rally racers as they're competing at these insane speeds and going through these insane parts of the world. And as soon as you get that appreciation, your nerdy geekiness about rally is going to go to like level 1 million. And you're going to be like mind blown at what they're actually accomplishing every day, because they're basically reading a map and racing at the same time. And we've talked about that every year, and I keep talking about it because it's the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's insane watching some of the video clips and stuff this morning, even of stage one, and seeing these guys going, you know, 100 miles an hour across the desert, looking down at the road book, dodging rocks, threading the needle.
It's so cool.
Yeah, unreal.
Very cool. And let's get to the results on how these animals out there managed through that course today. First main stage, 300 plus kilometers of timed special test today, which is not insignificant. That's a big day. We talked about where they were going yesterday's show from the prologue. Pretty close. They're looping back around to Yanbu in this big sort of, you know, clockwise arc. And they got into some rocks and some dust and some wind today. And Edgar Cané, the Spanish racer from KTM, the rookie in the Rally GP class, got his second stage win already.
Yeah, unbelievable. 20-year-old rider, 2 stage wins this far.
So cool.
And the stage, it looks like the stage was pretty straightforward. It took them a little over 3 hours to complete. And from the sounds of it, there wasn't a whole lot to separate guys, so it was pretty fast, and the times were pretty tight, so we didn't see, you know, any real huge time gaps today.
Right.
But you know, still unbelievable ride from Edgar. There was a little bit of drama at the finish line, that we heard about, but you know, these things happen. guys make mistakes, and it looked like Ross Branch crossed the finish line with the best time, but he failed to adhere to a small speed zone and ended up getting a 6-minute penalty. So that pushed Ross back to 7th place.
Yeah, he was about probably 4 minutes clear. He ended up being 2 minutes clear.
I think it was about 2 minutes.
Yeah, about two minutes clear of the win today if he didn't cheat. Ross, you can't cheat out there and not do the speed penalties. Like, you got a speed penalty because you were cheating. And Ross, you're like the nicest guy in the pits, and nobody thinks you're a cheater for real, but I got to tease you a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't really cheating. I think it was just a little bit of a brain fade.
Yeah, understandable. Edgar, interesting about Edgar and the Spanish team. You know, the last legendary Spanish racer, Marc Coma, 11 years ago, like to this year, it marks the last time a Spanish racer has led the Rally GP class 2 consecutive days. So kind of a cool milestone for the Spanish racing, you know, environment. They're obviously massively passionate about racing in Spain. And this is just a great thing for that country.
For sure. You know, we've had a lot of really great Spanish racers in rally. You know, Marc Coma was the last one to win a Dakar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had Joan Barreda, who won a countless amount of stages, but could never really put it together to win a Dakar. Yep. And surprisingly enough, I was surprised by that stat that Barreda never really led the rally
2 days
more than 1 day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a interesting stat.
Yeah, it is. It is cool. But hats off to Edgar, you know, having the fortitude to come in there. And he did benefit from his win yesterday in the prologue to put him in a great starting position. He got to pick that spot. He picked 16th, I think. So he had good people in front of him. And, you know, he rode a great race, flawless, and got the win. And he gapped his teammate, Daniel Sanders, who got second again today. Literally, the podium is a mirror image of the prologue, just with a little bit different time gaps. You know, he beat him by, what?
Put a minute on, Sanders, yeah. And the interesting thing is that Edgar actually chose to start in front of Sanders. So he gave Daniel the last starting position, which is a little bit of team tactics there.
Yep.
But Daniel wasn't able to, you know, close up that gap and ride with Edgar. So, they ended up, you know, kind of riding on their own, and it was, pretty impressive, I would say. And, you know, Edgar's, he impressed me. I've spent some time with him, you know, on tests and stuff, and he's a young guy, but he's super mature, and he has Jordi Viladoms, who's another Spanish guy. They live relatively close together, kind of guiding him and teaching him. So his mindset is really good, and he knows he's not going to win the Dakar, right? He's like, his goal is like, you know, 2030. Mm. He wants to be winning the Dakar by 2030.
It may happen
a little bit sooner than that.
I feel like it's going to happen sooner than that with his performance so far. But hey, it's a very long race. We say that a lot too. Daniel had a good race. Seems like he raced per plan. I don't think he got hung out anywhere. Just 30 seconds off the base, or a minute off the base today. Ricky Brabeck, American on the Monster Energy Honda HRC team, 3rd place again today, only about 30 seconds behind Daniel. So we are seeing big dogs coming to the front and being very precise about their racing, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a great ride by Ricky, and you know, it shows he's put himself in a really good position there. You know, he's got 2 guys leading out in front of him tomorrow, so and those are 2 of his main competitors, so he's definitely got a good eye on them. And you know, he'll be able to just kind of sit back. He can push if he wants, he can hang back if he wants. It's a really good spot to be in.
His teammate, Tasha Sharina, who we would normally see up front ripping that prologue, he seems to be playing a much more mature game this year. You know, he finished 4th today on the stage, another, you know, 10 seconds back. So really tight between these guys in the top 4. And then Luciano Benavides, the 3rd KTM in the top 5. So KTM stacking that top 5 here early. Luciano was, you know, a couple minutes behind the rest of the guys, and that's where the time gap kind of opens up.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really sweet spot for Luciano, and I think, you know, being kind of quiet and sitting around that fifth place is, you know, we've talked about this before, is a really good strategy. I think going into tomorrow, he's going to be set up pretty well. He's done well on this stage before. Mm-hmm. I believe he's won a stage in this same area in the past. So I think, you know, he's set himself up pretty good.
Yeah, really, really, when you start looking at these stages as we get deeper into the race, if you're in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and you're not losing tons of minutes, you're in a very good position to take advantage of other people's mistakes, but also put time on if you feel it's an opportune time to do that, to get some time in, knock some people back, make a move. Right behind him in sixth place today, Ignacio Nacho Cornejo, who had a rough prologue, but really bounced back today. Rode through some dust, I'm sure, today, but he made his way. Well, actually, he started up in the front, rode his way to the front, and let out. And Nacho, we've seen him do this a bunch where he just puts the hammer down up front and doesn't lose that much time.
Yeah, it looks like Nacho led most of today's stage. He was leading out. He collected 4 minutes of bonus time. So I think that shows he was at the front nearly the whole way.
Right, got it. Ross Branch, our boy in seventh place overall today after 6 minutes of penalty. He was 4 minutes and 39 seconds off the lead. So a couple minutes there. He had the win by on basic speed. Adrian Van Beveren, it's his birthday today. He's 35 today.
Wow.
Just saw that on Instagram. So happy birthday, AVB. Good job. Right. Another Honda up there. And if you look at the top two teams, KTM and Honda, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but they're all in the top 10. Nobody fell out.
Yep.
You got Adrian in eighth. You got Michael Daugherty, Bass World KTM. He's the first Rally 2 competitor, so the Rally 2 class. He busted in the top 10. And we see him do that quite often. Yep. You know, he's probably the favorite for the Rally 2 again this year. He was ninth overall. And then Skylar House, the other American on the Honda team, 10th place. So you see the big dogs are all up there fighting. You got two heroes. You got three KTMs, you got all the Monster Energy guys, and that's the top 10 people.
Yeah, and we're seeing, I would say, a pretty good time gap there when as you get past, you know, Van Beveren, he's at about 6 minutes back in eighth, but then Skyler, he's nearly 10 minutes back already on stage one, so he's going to have to push tomorrow to get, I wouldn't say time back, but he's going to have to work his way forward a little bit, because being 10 minutes out on stage one is already
getting close to that danger zone a little bit where you're going to be on the wrong end of the pendulum. You're going to be not getting the opportunity to get lead out bonus time. Plus you're going to be fighting, you know, the people that are going to pass you on those things when you end up swinging to the front. We talked about that a lot with Ricky Brabeck in our pre-race interview. If you want to go check that out on YouTube, it's really good, or on podcast things. Skyler in the general rankings, if you look starting at 10th place, Skyler sits about 10 and a half minutes off the lead right now. The top three are clearly Edgar Kinne, Daniel Sanders, Ricky Brabeck. A minute 37 seconds separates those three. So we got a really tight race up there. You know, you get to fourth and fifth place, you're still 2 and 3 minutes gap. So these are all manageable gaps. But people got to start kind of positioning themselves in those top five positions.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you're going to see, I don't know. I don't think we're going to see a big swing tomorrow, because I think the guys that are running the highest pace are up near the front. And I don't see like Skyler putting 10 minutes on Sanders or anything tomorrow, unless Sanders makes a massive mistake or something like that. So I think they're going to avoid this pendulum thing for a few more days at least. And, you know, we'll,
unless you get hung out and you have a mistake and you can get knocked out of sync for sure. And that can happen. But yeah, I think it's going to be kind of the same. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Don't forget. There was a few years ago where Ricky and a bunch of the guys lost 40 minutes on stage two. So, you know,
anything can happen.
Ended their rally.
Let's hear from Edgar, stage winner and current leader of the Dakar Rally here, with a quote from him. Got a little quote from him to see how his dream is happening out there.
I don't know. We don't know the time still. We arrive at the end. I don't see Daniel in all the stage. I don't know if they catch me a little bit, but yeah, super happy with the rhythm. It was a really difficult stage because it was a lot of rocky part with not crazy navigation, but in some parts you need to take care because it's easy to get lost. But yeah, super happy with the rhythm, with the confidence I have with the bike. So we keep dreaming. Now we are second, so super happy for that. And yeah, now we have long liaison to ride to the VPAC. We need to take rest, and it's a long Dakar in front. So now it's time to keep focus. It's the best way to start the rally for sure, but I need to take care and don't try to push more than what I need. But for the moment, yeah, I just can say thank you for everybody. Yesterday I have a lot of messages, so yeah, keep dreaming.
Keep the dream alive.
Very cool. So yeah. Cool to see. And at that point he didn't know that he had won the stage, because I think they still had Ross in front of him on the time. Mm-hmm. So, but it's so cool to see such a young guy up at the front of this race. And, you know, it's been a while since we've seen anything like that. I mean, Mason Klein had won a couple of stages, you know, there a couple of years ago, but yeah, it's neat to see a young guy on a factory team with such a big future.
It really is. And if you're listening to this on a podcast, it's really hard to get some of those words through with the wind at this stage. And I think the wind today played a factor in a lot of people. It seemed like it was pretty brutal out there, pretty wide open, and just getting knocked around with dust and wind and stuff today. So apologies for that, but that's the best we can do on some of these quotes, because these guys aren't as accessible as you might think they are all the time, because they're doing a full-time job. But we do have some special treats in a little bit with some inside information from our correspondent guys on the ground. So stay tuned for that. But I think we should listen to Daniel next up, talk about his race today and how it went down, and you know how it went for the factory KTM and reigning world number one.
Yeah, we just had a pretty basic day. Really, it wasn't as hard as I expected it to be. So it was pretty easy. So it was hard to make up a lot of time. And yeah, I just made those two probably tricky notes, and I made, you know, lost a couple of minutes here. But other than that, was feeling all right. I'm happy to only lose like 2 minutes, because I feel really bad today. So and yeah, it was. I'm looking forward to more harder terrain, and today was more basic and full gas everywhere. Just not so tricky navigation. Yeah, so tomorrow hopefully get in the rhythm and the flow a little bit more. And it was really windy and sandstorm today, so it was hard to see the terrain and to keep focused with the wind pushing the helmet everywhere. So yeah, we tried to make some adjustments for tomorrow. It looks like some more stony stuff, but I feel good. I didn't feel like I used much energy today. It was taking it easy. And yeah, hopefully, yeah, we can push tomorrow and see how we go.
Thursday looks quite balanced between the two and even the three main brands. So it seems that we are going to have a nice Dakar.
Yeah, like it would look like this today, but this stage was similar to 23, and I think the top seven were within 2 minutes gap. So it was, today was tight timing, and you could tell because no one was catching anyone. Super basic navigation, so, and super easy terrain. So yeah, it was hard to make time up, and I knew this from the beginning. And going back and doing the study in this area, we knew this was the same stage one in 23, and I won this stage back then, but had a speed penalty. But yeah, look, it's good to have the confidence and to know where we are, and yeah, I'm excited to get into some harder terrain.
That guy always wants it harder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where he does his work, right? When it's tough and there's something to kind of separate the men from the boys, that's where old Sanders seems to put in the work.
For sure. And, you know, he mentioned a couple things there. It was hard to make up time today because it was relative easy terrain. And it was pretty fast. Nobody was really catching anybody. So, and the conditions were bad. But he gave a little clue on his condition. He said he's not feeling well out there. So maybe he's fighting some illness, or maybe he's just like not feeling the flow yet. And, you know,
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see how that shakes out tomorrow.
Yeah, it sounded like he had the best day. Maybe stumbled on a note here or there, but
you don't have any insight. You haven't, your KTM radar hasn't been pinging.
I haven't talked to those guys yet. We'll have to reach out and see if we can get a little info.
Why are you even on this show if you're not calling the factory team and giving us information?
We're saving this equity for later in the race. We want to really bug those guys when things start heating up. So I'm leaving them alone for the first stage or two.
Fair warning, everybody in the bivouac you're going to get a phone call from Quinn at the worst possible time when your team's going through an emergency.
Wait until they're under the most stress. Things are just super chaotic.
That's right.
Everybody's freaking out. Then we're going to call.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Speaking of people we need to call, but we haven't chatted with him since our preview show, Ricky Brabeck. We should hear from him today because he's kind of the lone red rider up there mixing it with these KTM boys in these first couple stages. And I always like hearing from Ricky because he's got a chip on his shoulder sometimes. He's ready to kick some butt. So here's old Ricky Brabeck. Let's hear from him.
Oh, I'm fine. You know, battled the dust a little bit today. I think, you know, KTM has a little bit of a strategy going on and they kind of put me in the middle of it. But, yeah, now, you know, it's only the first day, so there's plenty more days to push. And, you know, I'm happy to get to the finish line and in one piece. You know, I necessarily, you know, didn't really want to be up front or be in the back. You know, I don't want to catch in the swing of things, you know, the rubber band effect. I don't want to be swinging around. So if I could stay more or less in the middle, that'd be really awesome. And for now, I think I'm more or less there. So with one day down, there's many more to go. So we'll just keep pushing and doing this best we can.
Yeah, he's all right. He's in the dust. He got in a KTM dust storm today. What's that all about? You think they put those guys in that starting order yesterday to kind of disrupt some Ricky
moves? I don't think they were really riding together, the three of those guys. It seems like they, based on the times, they kind of held their gaps, but they probably caught a bunch of guys that started in front of them that were maybe, you know, some of the slower rally GP guys and whatnot. And
sure,
so I'm
sure
there was, you know, there was a bit of dust for him, and you know, but I don't know. It doesn't look like he caught Daniel or Edgar.
Right.
You know, because I think Ricky started in front of both them. So,
yeah. So,
but there's guys in front for sure that they're catching.
All right. Well, they're already thinking about each other out there. You can tell.
Yeah.
They're getting ready to battle down. Somebody we always like hearing from is Ross Branch. He's a fantastic person and he's a fantastic racer. And unfortunately today he cheated and got a 6-minute speeding penalty, but we want to hear from him. I'm not sure if he knows he got the penalty at this point or not. You might have thought he won, so this will be interesting to see what his mood is.
Let's see.
Yeah, we don't know yet. We'll wait for the results at the end of the day, but it was a good day nonetheless. You know, just being on my bike out in the desert, having some fun was amazing, and I just raced myself today, you know. I made a couple of small mistakes, got lost a little bit, but nothing too serious, and just happy to be out here, and happy to see that I've got the speed at least, you know. That was a big thing for me last year, as I wasn't getting the results I wanted, and it was getting a bit frustrating, but I've got a really good team around me, and a really good bunch of people that keep me going, so happy to be here and really grateful.
What was the stage in itself?
It was really tough, you know. I thought maybe they'd get us a bit easy into the Dakar, but this is Dakar. It's the hardest race in the world for a reason, and navigation this year is going to be super important. I got lost twice today, and you know, it's different. The navigation is different to what I've been learning, and just gotta do with it. It's the same for everybody, so just gotta be a bit better tomorrow. And looking forward to a great couple of weeks here in Saudi.
Thank you.
He also got lost, but still won without his speed penalty.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good race.
Yeah, I mean a little bit of contrast from Daniel Sanders there. He was kind of saying it was tough, tricky navigation. Versus Sanders. No, it's a little too easy.
Yeah. So. We've seen this wordplay game go down for a long time.
Yes,
and Daniel's always on the, it's kind of easy side of things. And Ross is a little bit like, man, I thought they were going to make it easier on me. Come on, guys.
But I mean, when you look at the big picture, it was really only 3 hours of race time today. So I would say it's kind of a warm up for them for the most part. Tomorrow's stage looks to be a little bit more challenging, a little tougher.
But you say 3 hours of race time is pretty mellow, but it was like 160 miles of racing in 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's not slow.
No. They're going fast. There's no question they're going fast. That's what I'm saying. If they finish a stage quickly, then generally
it's an easier stage,
right? If it takes them 5-6 hours to finish the stage, then... Yeah. You know it was serious.
Yeah. They're still hanging it out there and going fast.
Yeah.
It's cool. Let's get into some other racers and other personalities in the pits. What do you say about that? Our boy Anthony Bonello is on the ground, yep, sending us some pretty epic inside information from the bivouac. You know, that's what makes this race so cool, is the massive, you know, caravan of city that follows it around and all the people involved in it, and, you know, all the racers that we can try to talk to get their experiences and kind of see like how some of the journeymen are doing it, some of the other race teams that don't get a lot of, you know, coverage on the national coverage and that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
here's who do we want to start with? We got some great stuff from him today. I think
it'd be pretty cool to hear from Sam Sunderland.
Yeah. He chatted with Sam Sunderland today, who's there as sort of a correspondent. I don't know.
He's just there visiting the race, yeah, or checking it out. And I mean, it's cool to hear from him from a different perspective, right? He's kind of retired now. We have a lot of these guys that are not up in the front of the race. So I think, you know, it's fun to listen to that.
Yeah, definitely somebody we've talked about a lot on this show and talked to on the show, giving us race insight. And, you know, the guy's a legend. He's won 2 Dakar rallies, technically 2 world championships.
Yep.
And he's raced since, geez.
Yeah, I think 11, I did 10 or 11 Dakars. Yeah. He started with me actually in 2012. We were on the same team, the HT Rally Honda team.
Oh yeah, cool.
And yeah.
Okay.
First year, and didn't go so well for either one of us.
Well, hey, we're not talking about that. We're going to talk about Sam in the pits at the bivouac this year. Let's get on.
Who we ran into here.
Hey guys.
What are you up to here?
I'm just cruising around the bivouac on the bike here, catching up with old friends, and it's actually nice for me to see the race from another side and like not have that tremendous weight of the Dakar on your shoulders. So yeah, cruised out to the start this morning, seen the boys away, and it was actually the same area where I like absolutely shit carted in 23 and kilometer 50, so I was quite happy to not be going into that stage. I was like, go steady boys, there's a few rocks out there I found before. So yeah, having a good time and catching up with some friends.
What else are you doing these days? It looks like you're about to go on the world's longest coffee run.
Yeah,
on adventure
bikes. World's longest liaison coming up in April. But before that, I'm actually signed up for Le Touquet, which is like a 3-hour beach race in the north of France. It's like 1,500 people flat out down the beach and all the twisties on the way back. So yeah, I need to get on the prep for that because there's some rippers in there and I'm going to go and suffer for 3 hours. But I like suffering, so we'll be right.
And how's life after rally?
It's good. It's good. I'm, you know, I like so many people have asked me, like, oh, does it not feel weird being here, like not being racer? And there is a sense of that, but like, also, I gave my all. Like, I literally gave my all my whole career. And I started early. I started at 21, so, you know, I had a pretty long time. I stopped at 35, and I really feel like, you know, I don't have any regrets in terms of, oh, if I trained harder, I might have won more. Like, no, I remember I sacrificed a lot. I gave my all, and, you know, I was always kind of trees or trophies in my career, which I kind of, like, denied for a long time. But the last part of my career, I just accepted it and sort of thought, well, I'd rather a few trophies than no trophies at all. So, yeah, I'm content with it and happy to be here and see some friends and, like, cheer on some boys and girls, you know?
What do you make of the moto class this year? What's your view on it?
It's fierce. It's fierce. You know, you got young Edgar out there swinging off it early doors here. So, but I'm sure there's, you know, a couple of the old stable horses getting ready to bang the hammer. He's, you know, Brabec, Sanders has obviously been strong all year. And I think Tosha and Adrian will be strong as the race goes on also. It's been quite fast stages so far. Like, the prologue was just wedged. And I think today, for the most part, there wasn't too much tricky navigation. So, you know, the guys that prefer to put the brain in the box and swing off it, you know, normally benefit like that. So as the race goes on, there's, you know, Dakar's long and there's not, you can't speak too soon until she's done. So I think as we get through the race, you'll see a few of the, you know, the common names start banging on the hammer and making some margins. So looking forward to it.
Feels like a bit of a new generation in rally these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think it changed. Wow, like, I mean, I remember being that young guy, right? Coming in when Mark Comer and Cyril were there, and I'm like, who are these old dudes? I'm gonna show them. And, you know, before you know it, I'm the old dude, and there's these young rippers coming through, and it's just a course of life, spice of life, maybe, you know. And it's cool to see young Edgar out there going fast, but like, as I say, I know him really well. He's a great kid, super professional, but when the tricky navigation days come,
it's just normal that he doesn't quite have the experience yet, and he's earning it. So yeah, I think a few of the old stable horses will be up front towards the mid part, and it's going to be an interesting one.
What's your pick? Who's your pick?
Don't do that to me. You know what? Who my pick is the guy that wins, because whoever wins deserves to win. Like, there may be people that I'm more friendly with than not, but like, I respect the race, and whoever wins it deserves to win. So I'll be rooting for that guy at the end of the day. You know, like, I'll be pleased for whoever it is.
What color bike you think? A pink bike?
Yeah, I've still got a bit of an orange heart. You know, I mean, I just been over there to see the boys now, and it's a lot of friendly faces. So I hope it's one of them boys, just because I was a bit of part of developing the bike after I retired. So I still lay claim to a tiny percentage there, maybe. No, it's all on them. But, you know, when you stay 10 years with a team, you get great friends and more like a family, let's say. So, yeah, hopefully it's one of them. But in the same time, as I say, whoever wins, they deserve to win.
Enjoy your round the world trip there, buddy.
Thanks,
good to see you.
Catch ya.
That's epic stuff from Sam. Like, really well said. He captured the whole spirit of this race in a nutshell, and he's got great perspective.
Yeah, he really did. And yeah, he nailed it right there with, yeah, whoever wins this race deserves to win this race, because yeah, there's no accidents at the Dakar, right? You don't win by accident. You don't
it's
get
not
lucky.
Given to you.
Yeah.
It's not given to you.
You earn every bit of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody throws this race in your lap. No. Like, you got to fight and scrape for every little bit of it. And a lot of like professional perspective there about, you know, how the race changes with the old guard coming out and the new guard coming in. And we're really in that transition period now where, you know, other than, you know, Ricky's been there for 11 years. Mm-hmm. Adrian Van Beveren's been there for 10 years.
Right.
Daniel's dominating right now, and he's in his prime, but now these other young kids coming in, and we need more young kids coming in, because yeah, that pool's kind of drying up. We need the next generation of the next generation to fill that in. But really cool to see how it's constantly evolving and changing, and how fast everybody's still going.
Yeah, it's pretty rad for sure.
It's pretty crazy to think that, you know, that the tip of the spear, the top guys that are racing and getting all the coverage and stuff are really the big part of this race that's attracting it. But really there's that whole mass of, you know, the consumer racers that are out there that are making it happen. And we got a couple of those guys to chat with next. And that's really how you have to get into this race. Yeah. Is you have to pay your own way. You got to fight and scrape, even if you're going to be the next, you know, Edgar Canet, or when Mason Klein was the next kid, like, he had to scrape his way to get there.
Yeah. And Skyler, I mean, you see, Skyler, yeah. He sold everything he owned to get there for the opportunity. And, you know, he was able to get factory rides and make it work. Mm-hmm. I would say majority outside of the top couple factory guys, majority of people here are paying their own way.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's 100 guys outside of the 15 Rally GP guys that are organizing their own sponsors, mortgaging their house, selling stuff, and doing whatever they can to be there. And so it's cool to hear the stories from these guys as well. And, you know, it's kind of,
yeah,
they're all, a little spark to that dream.
Yeah. They're all chasing the same dream that we have sitting here talking about it. Like, man, the romance of being there and experiencing that, you know, hardship and isolation and, you know, being one with the machine and getting out there and doing it, like, that's powerful. And like you said, there's 100 guys and girls out there in motorcycles that are making that happen. We got a couple of them on here. First, we're going to talk to Nate Rafferty.
Yep.
He's a guy, you know, from the Park City area. He's involved in like the Utah, you know, skiing industry, but, KTM rallies and stuff. You've chatted with him up in that area, and you've talked to him.
I mean, Nathan's a great guy. He's been doing a lot of rally stuff over the years, and super big dirt bike enthusiast, and kind of heavily involved in the ski industry up in Utah. And, you know, he's done a lot of cool stuff on motorcycles too. So
yeah,
and he's here doing it at the second Dakar.
Let's hear from him. He's sitting in the pits after the stage today. So let's hear from Mr. Rafferty.
Checking in here with American Nathan Rafferty. How's your Dakar first experience in Saudi treating you?
It's great. It was fun. Kind of what I thought the terrain would be like. And yeah, just kind of a cruisy day today. A little bit of everything. Some dunes, some rocks, some big valleys, some wind, and a few camels. So yeah, it was cool.
Much carnage out there that you saw?
I didn't see much. I saw a couple dead bikes. I saw a broken person, I think. But nothing too crazy. Yeah.
And kind of what's your strategy for Dakar here?
I've got a very intense strategy, which is just hold on till the end. My game has always been just consistent cruising, and you know, I think the podium is out of reach for me after today. So I will just kind of cruise on in and I don't know, just do my best to get through 14 days or 13 days or whatever it is, and have some fun, make some friends along the way, and see a new country. So so far so good.
You've done one other Dakar?
I did one other Dakar, and then I think this is my, that was 2019 in Peru, all the sand, which was super cool. And then I think this is my 13th international rally, I want to say. You know, a couple in Mexico and Abu Dhabi and South Africa and Argentina, and kind of use this as a way to see the world and see new places and ride dirt bikes while I'm doing it.
Yeah, right on. How's it compare so far to your other experience at the Dakar?
Good. It feels a lot bigger. Just kind of, I don't remember it being this big. That being said, there were less bikes. When I did it in 19, there were, I think, 150 bikes, but that might have included quads. And then, gosh, it's just such a big machine. I forgot how big this whole thing is. I came and did South Africa in the spring, and that was like, you know, camping with your buddies on the, you know, on the weekend and racing around a little bit compared to this.
You're with Bass.
Yeah.
We'll have to come back and get the tour, but give us the sort of overview of what you get here.
Yeah, I think Bass is the kind of creme de la creme of service guys. And if you're going to come all the way here and spend all the money that you do, it just makes sense that you go with guys that really know what they're doing. And Bart and their crew know what they're doing. They've got 10 bikes and 9 different nationalities, which is pretty cool. 2 Americans and guy from Mongolia, France, Czech, Netherlands, the list goes on. But yeah, just a great squad, and awesome.
Right on. Well, good luck for the coming days. We'll check in again soon.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think he's doing everything right, right?
Yeah.
Like he's not messing around trying to build his own bike and ship it there. He's not playing the game. He's like, I'm getting on the right team. They can take care of it. And all I got to do is get on the bike and ride every day.
Yeah, he's got it figured out for sure. I mean, that's the way to do this race. And I mean, I'm a little envious of that strategy, right? how cool it would be just to go and ride this race and just enjoy it, right? You know, the scenery, everything else with no pressure to perform in any way or get a certain result, right? Just go enjoy it and meet people. And
yeah, if you have the means to make that happen, like make it happen and you know, enjoy every minute of it. I think he said a couple fun things there when they asked him if he saw any carnage out there. And he's like, oh, just a couple broken bikes. I think I saw a broken body.
Yeah.
It's just nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah,
so it's still an adventure.
I know we had a few withdrawals already, but I haven't looked through the list to see.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see some amazing stuff if you have the chance to get out here and do one of these rally races, no matter what race it is and what part of the world. And he really holds on to that aspect of it. Like, this is my excuse to get out there and explore the world, but also ride your bikes, which, yes. Hey, he's living the dream.
Yeah, beat it.
He's my hero. My new hero at Dakar, Nathan Rafferty, for sure. Okay, up next, we got a local boy to the Southern California scene and somebody we've known for a long time around. You've known him clearly for a long time around desert racing with his dad. And then I've known him for a long time working in media and marketing with the KTM group. And also I just see him at races. The kid races all the dang time. Weekend. I love it. Yeah. He's crushing it. This is Brandon Krause. He's also on the same team. I think he's on the same Bass Trucks team, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So he's a teammate of Mr. Rafferty's. We got two Americans in there crushing it. And, he's straight from Southern California at his first Dakar rally. And we're going to hear to see what his experience is like.
Yeah. Brandon Krause.
We're here with Quinn's buddy, Brandon Cruz. How was your day?
Day was okay. You know, it was a good day to get our feet wet and, kind of get a feel for what to expect the next 12 days.
And what's your background?
You know, I just grew up racing in the desert. That's all I've really ever known. You know, I've branched out and done a little bit of Grand Prix and motocross, but, you know, the focus has always really been desert. And my dad raced the Dakar back in 98 and 2004, so it's just kind of been a dream of mine to get here one day, so here we are.
And did you win the Road to Dakar?
Road to Dakar or Dakar Dreams or something like that. But yeah, Sonora Rally in March won some money towards my entry fee and helped me get here.
How many rallies have you done?
Sonora Rally was the first one. I read a road book, I think the Friday before Sonora, or before we were supposed to leave for Sonora, and that was kind of my introduction to rally, and then that was kind of the base my dad set for me to see if I could actually go and compete at Sonora, and then did Sonora, did Rally du Maroc in October, had to finish that to get here, and now we're here, so rally number three.
You got to do the Rally du Maroc, which is where we met, but how does that compare to this once you get here?
Morocco was just really rocky overall. Like anywhere you went, it was super rocky, and outside of that, it was, once we left Fez was a little bit more mountainous, with trees and stuff. Once we got down closer to Erfurt, that was a lot like home, like Akatia.
It's just not as big a race though, is it?
Yeah. Obviously, Sonora was the biggest race I've ever done, just the longest one. And then I got to Morocco, and it kind of overshadowed Sonora. And then now we're here, and it just one step further. Obviously, this is the off-road race.
And what are your goals or expectations and strategy?
Strategy is just take it one day at a time, see how we go. I'd really like to put a time or two in the top 20, but if we can get consistent results inside the top 30, we'll be really happy.
Right on. Well, we'll keep checking in with you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to hear from Brandon Krause.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I've known this kid since he was born. So, it's again making me feel old.
Yep.
To see all these youngsters racing the Dakar.
Yeah, it's cool to talk about his dad, Paul Krause, desert racing legend, Dakar racer, also current racing legend. The guy races all the time.
I'm pretty sure there are no official desert racing statistics, but I'm pretty sure Paul Krause has the most starts of any human in a desert racing, or probably any kind of racing.
Probably for that any matter, off-road racing, yeah.
I think he raced since he was, 10 years old, and he's 60 now, and 60-something now, and he's still racing every weekend.
Yeah, I see him every year at the KTM Adventure Rider Rally, and most of the time they say, well, Paul's going to leave tomorrow and race the National Enduro in, Pennsylvania. After tomorrow morning, he'll be there the next day to race again. The guy is clearly addicted to racing and has made a great career and a great legacy with Brandon out there racing now too.
Yeah. Very cool.
Very cool. All right. Let's get into tomorrow's stage, Quinn. Yep. What can we expect to see out there? What are our stats on the stage tomorrow?
So tomorrow's stage, Yambu to Olula, 504 kilometer stage in total.
Wow.
400 kilometer special.
Okay.
So I would say this is a pretty solid stage. I think this is kind of creeping our first big challenge distance wise.
Creeping that mileage up every day here.
Organization is estimating 4.5 to 5 hours to finish this stage. We'll see what the results say, but
we'll try to remember that for tomorrow's show to see how good they are at predicting the speed of, these factory guys.
See how accurate they are. This area, again, rocky, a little more technical. They're saying the beginning of the stage is going to be more technical, some tricky navigation, some some kind of rocky canyons. And I know in this area, right, we're starting to get into we've been in Saudi enough now that we know the stages, right? We know the area. We generally know where they have to take you.
Okay.
And so there's some history here, and I know Luciano Benavides is one in this area. Mm-hmm. Ricky's done really well in this area in the past. Yep. So, it'll be interesting to see where everything falls. I think Luciano is sitting in a pretty good position, starting fifth tomorrow to have a good finish.
Sure. Anybody else on your radar out there? Ross is going to be seventh after his penalty today.
Everybody,
a really good spot. You know, even Skyler and, you know, AVB, these guys are all in great spots that, you know, they kind of want to start thinking about making a move and not be in that 10th position. They want to be, you know, creeping up some time, right, if they can take advantage of it. And you got to start moving quick, right?
Push from the back. And if there's some difficult navigation at the front, then there's that possibility. But, you know, we can't forget that Edgar and Daniel have the possibility of collecting bonus points if they link up. So
yeah,
that can offset things a little bit. And it's really kind of throws the,
throws everybody's plans out the window.
Exactly.
Cause if you're leading this race, you get bonus points for however many kilometers you basically are at the front of the race, mm-hmm, you know, navigating on your own leading. They give you a little bonus because that's harder. You're inherently going to be going slower technically over the ground when you get to those points, because you're doing all of the navigation yourself. You don't have anybody to follow. You don't have any tracks. So they award little bonus points that really have determined this race at the end in the last few years. They've really done a good job of leveling that playing field a little bit.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's kind of a cool setup. It maybe throws out a little bit of the traditional, mm-hmm, Dakar
shenanigans. You
know, yeah, the games and the stuff like that, because guys just go flat out from start to finish. But it's a different race now than it used to be, and guys are going flat out every single day. And
for sure,
you know, it's not the old Dakar in Africa where it was more of an adventure. This is high level motorsports now.
No hiding in bushes.
No, that ain't happening.
Oh man, I want those days to come back a little bit. All right, well, that about wraps us up. Thanks, Quinn, for all the insight. And thank you, Anthony, again, for getting us all the insight. Obviously, we're really proud of what we do here. We're really appreciative of, you know, everybody's support. Speaking of support, you can now buy us a cup of coffee if you want to. Quinn, yes, we dropped a link in our Instagram account. It's Dakar_rally_daily. You just click the link and buy us a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
Quinn's starving in here.
We're running low on coffee these early mornings.
Also, we got to give our shout out to the NBC sports crew. You know, they're compiling, I don't know how many hours of footage they got to go through every day of this race, from helicopters to on the ground to POV, to put together a really cool, you know, it's like an hour and a half show, hour long highlight show every day. Obviously you can see that on NBC sports app, Peacock streaming. You can also go to the Motorsports on NBC YouTube channel and check out more replays of that, plus insight interviews and all that kind of stuff. And we're really happy to kind of partner up with them this year and expose this sport to as many people as possible. So please go check out the NBC sports coverage. And man, it's just fun to finally, I like it because it offsets what we talk about in the morning. And then later in the day, I'm like, I'm going to go watch that. And I'll be like, oh, that's what happened when we were talking about it. Cause it's kind of a time difference, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't always get to see the video before we do the show. Right. So yeah, so it's fun to, you know, do the show and kind of imagine what happened and then get out there in the evening and watch the NBC highlights.
Yeah. It's a great tool to nerd out even more about this race. As we get into the work week tomorrow, we're going to have to like do some work responsibilities. So I encourage everybody to don't get fired by watching and listening only to Dakar Rally Daily stuff every day of your job, but do it at work.
I might get fired for doing Dakar Rally Daily if I'm late for work in the morning for a few more days.
Yeah. Expect shows to be a little earlier going on out from here because, you know, work week gets started earlier. So we're going to be busting things out. Hopefully, you know, we'll get them out by 9:10 in the morning here from California. So thanks everybody again. Thanks to our sponsors, Climb, Baja Rally, Rally Navigator, everybody else that's supporting us. If you want to get in touch with us or give us any insight or any questions you want to answer, direct messaging on Instagram is great. Comments on Cycle News YouTube channel of the show is a great way to, we can go through those. we'll start going through those live again this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to give the Quinn, what did I call it last
Q&A,
year?
Q&A, Quinn and answer.
Quinn and answer session. We yeah, we're going to start Quinn and answers again soon. So please start dropping in those questions. Any questions you have about bike tech or navigation tech or any of that kind of stuff. If we don't know it, we'll find out. And, you know, we're just going to keep nerding out here.
All right.
All right. Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow. We're back, Quinn. This is my pre-show meditation exhale before I screw up all the talking parts.
You sound beaten down already.
It's just my cold.
Yeah. It's only day one.
Well, we got to keep going.